Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for another opportunity that we have this morning to share fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you for your presence in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We love your presence. We cherish your presence above all else. As David said, we would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Here we are this morning because we love you, Lord, and we love your presence. Thank you for revealing more of yourself to us as we search the scriptures this morning. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding and helping us to behold wondrous things out of your word. And as we hear your word, help us, dear Lord, that we be not hearers of your word only, but that we be doers of your word, so that we may profit thereby. Give your grace to us, Lord, to enable us to do your word day by day. Until you come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide and our helper now and always. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. We're just going to encourage our hearts again, bringing back to our memory the word that God gave to us to run with this year. 2019, remember, God said, come up higher. And throughout the month of December last year, 2018, we were fasting and just spending time in prayer, running with that word which God spoke concerning our 2019, come up higher. And we were studying Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where John on the island of Patmos, God gave him that vision. And Bible says he saw the heaven open, you know, a door was opened unto him in heaven. And then the voice he heard was saying to him, come up either. In other words, come up high to the heavenly places, and I will show you things to come hereafter. In other words, rise up to a greater height so that you can see more of the things that God wants to show you, because you are not going to be able to see those things at the lower level where you are. You see, we have to understand that also in our personal lives, in our walk with God, we cannot afford to rest on our horse, as it were, or to just relax and think we have arrived because we already know so much of the word of God, or we've had, you know, several experiences of God's goodness in our lives. We have to keep pressing into more of God. No matter how much of God we have already experienced, we must desire more. No matter how much knowledge we already have of the word of God, we must hunger for more, because the more we hunger, the more we thirst, the more we are filled. And also, that was why we were also looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, along with Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, in running with the word of God concerning 2019. You see, we have to have that mentality as Paul had, to keep pressing. You see, we have to press. We have to put in every effort that we can, to the degree that God has given us grace to do so, to desire more of God, to pay all the price necessary in order to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, coming to the heights that God has prepared for us in Christ will require us making personal sacrifices. There's a price to pay in order to win the prize. You see, we have to make sacrifices. We have to spend more time in fellowship with God. We have to be more diligent in searching the scriptures, wanting to know more of God and understand more of his ways so that we can walk with him, because God is exalted, Bible says. And when we begin to learn to walk with him, we will walk upon our high places in Christ Jesus. Remember, that's where we are really as Christians. According to Ephesians chapter 2, God has quickened us and made us to sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we are to operate from that heavenly places where we belong. We are citizens of heaven. Bible teaches us our citizenship is heavenly. And first and foremost, we have to understand that that is the place we must operate from, even while we are here on earth, because we have connection with the heavenly places at all times through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. It connects us with heaven. It connects us with the throne of God in heaven. That's why we can come to the throne of grace in the time of need, because the Holy Spirit links us up with where our help is coming from, right in the heavenly places. So we have to rise up to those heights and walk upon our high places in Christ. And it is good to always remember this. And so this morning we are going to look at something along that line, just to encourage us to rise up and walk on the high places that belong to us in Christ Jesus. God has prepared those places for us, but we must know how to rise up and walk right there by his grace, in Jesus' name. So Isaiah chapter 55, and let us read together from verse 6. I'm just going to read it for the sake of context. We'll read it from verse 6 down to the end. Let's go. Isaiah 55 from verse 6 down to verse 13. Let's go. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen and amen. Notice the last phrase there in verse 13. Whenever God does something, he wants what he has done to be permanent in our lives. He wants us to keep enjoying the benefit of what he alone can do. That's why it says, it shall be for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. It shall be for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And we thank God that that shall be our experience all the days of our lives as we walk with God. God will impute our lives with the blessings that come from Him, and those blessings will abound yet more and more and pass on even to our own children in their generation. Because when God called Abraham, that was what He said unto him, that He will bless him and bless his seed after him in their generations, just because Abraham was a friend of God walking in obedience to God. You see, God is no respecter of persons. What He did to Abraham, He will do to us also. Because He simply said the reason why Abraham was his friend was because He knew that Abraham would not only obey Him, but that He will also teach His children to do the same in their own generation. So God is a good God. Every time He finds somebody whose heart is after Him, He will come and form friends with them. He will be friends with them. He will come and form friendship with them. You see, when He found, for instance, David, that he was a man whose heart was after God, God chose him to be king over His people. In Noah's generation, God found Noah. You see, God is always looking for people. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole heart. He's looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward Him so that He can come and show Himself strong in the behalf of such people. So our God is a good God, and He always does good things for those who seek after Him. Now, let us back up to verse 6 where we began from. It says there, seek ye the Lord. You see, the responsibility is on us as men. And by men there, I mean male and female species. Whether we are male or female, God wants us as His creation to seek after Him, because He is our Creator. And He has every help that we will ever require all the days of our lives. And not only so, He also has a destiny for every one of us. You see, God is not a God that does things, you know, just for doing sake. God always has a purpose. He is a purposeful God. Everything God does is according to His divine purpose. He always has a definite purpose in everything that He does. And in creating you, in creating me, in sending each one of us into the world at the time we were born, God designed everything according to His purpose. And He has a destiny for each one of us to fulfill. He said so to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know. Man may not know. You and I may not even understand fully the plans of God for our lives, but God already knows all these things. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, He knew everything about us and all His plans for our lives. He chose our inheritance for us, as the Bible says. And then, if we learn to walk with Him and walk in His ways, He will be able to guide us in the way we should go in order to get to that expected end. But if we don't learn to walk with Him, we can miss out on our destiny because we don't even know. None of us has clear understanding of tomorrow, but God knows everything. He knows about our past, He knows about our present, He knows about our future, and He's able to guide us as a faithful shepherd into the fullness of His plans for our lives. That is why it is important that we learn to walk with God, to seek God with all our heart, and to desire to know Him more and relate with Him better and better on a daily basis. We should be going from glory to glory in our personal walk with God, in our relationship with Him. There should be a gradual increase from one level of glory to another on a daily basis, which means the hunger I have for God today, I must keep it tomorrow, and if possible, even increase it so that I can have more of God. Because the more we hunger and thirst after righteousness, Bible says, the more we are filled. God is no respecter of persons. He just fills every one of us to the degree that we hunger for Him. If we don't hunger, then we are not going to get anything from God. So The onus is on us as individuals to stir within us hunger for God personally. You see, we have to learn to work out our own salvation individually, as Bible says, with fear and trembling. So after we have come to Jesus to know him, we have to understand that there is a responsibility to develop our new life in him. If others want to be lukewarm, we are to encourage them, well, you better get fervent in seeking after God, because God does not want lukewarmness. He doesn't want slothfulness. But if they refuse, well, don't let them slow you down. You just keep up your own hunger in the Lord and work out your own salvation. You see, at the end of the day, each one of us have to give an account unto God for ourselves. Now, verse 6 says again, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hallelujah. You see, there is a time and there is a season to really lay a good foundation for God in our lives. You see, it's like the farmer. The farmer knows that there is a sowing season and then a time to harvest. You will not see the farmer going to plant in the harvest. No, he knows that the time to plant is the planting season. And we find a similar understanding in Ecclesiastes. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes, operating in the wisdom of God, telling us to seek the Lord in the days of our youth. Because if we don't do that, by the time we get to old age and everything is already, you know, going down in our lives, there may be no desire for God at that point, because we've not really been developing a close walk with God through the years. So it is good to seek God early. It is good in the days of youth to make a decision to draw close to God, so that by the time you get to old age, you're already in the ways of God. And it has become a personal habit to you to always love God, to always walk with God. And then if you have that kind of attitude in old age, you'll be able to teach the younger generation how to love God, because you have through the years developed a personal relationship with God. You can pass it on to the next generation. So it is important that we understand all these things and not waste time. You see, every day we should walk circumspectly, Bible says, and redeem the time, because the days are evil. There is going to come, like Jesus himself said, the night season when no one can walk. So we have to walk during the day. In other words, when we have the opportunity, the energy is there, and the opportunity is there in every sense of the word to seek the Lord, let us seize the opportunity at that time. Because we don't know how things will be tomorrow. It may be more difficult to even seek the Lord in the days ahead. So let us seek him while we have the opportunity now, and really get to know him for ourselves. So that's what verse 6 is saying. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And then verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Notice the word return. Return means you were there before, but you left. So God, in this case, is speaking to the children of Israel through Isaiah, because the children of Israel were very flaky, so to say. They will seek the Lord, and then when things are fine, they will forget about God and just do their own thing until problem comes again. Then they will run back to God and cry unto him, and God will have mercy on them. And then after they are relieved of their problems, they will forsake God again. So God was always sending his prophets to them, encouraging them to return to him, because God doesn't want man to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. When we go astray, he wants us to get back in line with him, because he's such a compassionate God. He loves us so much. He will never let go of us. Jesus said, if he had 100 sheep and one went astray, he would leave the 99 that are okay and go after that one that has gone astray, and he will not rest until he had found that one that went astray and bring him back into the fold with joy. That's to help us understand that our God is a compassionate God. It's a God that is always ready to forgive. It's a God that wants to pardon our iniquity if we will simply turn back to him and repent of our ways that are not right and choose to walk in his own ways. So that's why he's saying to them, let the wicked forsake his way. In other words, because the way of wickedness is not the way of God. And let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, because the thoughts that are not unrighteous, they are not the thoughts of God. We have to think righteous thoughts, thoughts that are in line with God's own truth, as written in the Holy Scriptures. Now, in verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, let's take that verse 8 together with verse 9. And we'll see what God is trying to get us to see here this morning. Verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. Now, let us pause for a moment. God is saying, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, there is a difference between your ways and my ways. This is God speaking to his children, the Israelites, and he's speaking the same thing to us as the church today. Your ways are not my ways. In other words, our own human ways, our own human understanding, our own human choices, when we rely on ourselves rather than God, they are not the same as God's own. That's why Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding in all our ways, not in some of them. In all our ways, we should acknowledge God, and then he will direct our paths. In other words, he will order our paths because he knows the way we should go. We don't know. We don't know. And so his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But what kind of difference? How big is the difference between the ways of God and our ways, the thoughts of God and our thoughts? That's what is helping us to see in verse 9. So far wide apart, as far as the heaven is from there, so far are the ways of God from us, from our own ways. In other words, the ways of God are much higher than our ways. And that is why if we really want to come up higher as God has challenged us to do this year, we have to understand the only way to come up higher is to walk in the ways of God. Because his ways are the higher ways, not our own ways. Our ways are low because man naturally is in a fallen state. When the devil went into the garden and got man to disobey God, man fell from the heights that God created him to operate in, because when God made man, God gave him dominion over all things. Adam was made to rule over the earth. God created everything on earth and gave Adam dominion over all. But when he disobeyed God, he lost that authority to have dominion over the earth. The devil stole it from him. And so man fell. Now Jesus came to lift us back up so that we can walk upon the high places with God again. And we have to understand that as Christians, the flesh in us is in a fallen state. We still have the flesh in us. Even though we are Christians born again, the flesh is still there. That's why Galatians chapter 5 teaches us that the flesh is what lost against the spirit in us, so that we don't do what we should do as God's own people. The flesh pulls us in another direction. The flesh is the way we are naturally apart from God. That's man in himself, in a fallen state, relying on himself, relying on his wisdom, relying on his own human abilities rather than God. Because all our abilities, all our knowledge, all our wisdom was corrupted by the devil in the garden. So the flesh, Bible says, will never please God. It just cannot please God because it is not in the way of God. No man in the flesh can please God. Even though we speak in tongues, if we walk in the flesh, we are not pleasing God at that point in time. The only way to please God is to walk in the ways of God. No other way. The ways of God are the ways of righteousness. They are the right ways to walk in, and they are the ways that will lead us into the best that God has for us in all areas of our life. So in verse 9, Bible tells us that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways of God higher than our own human ways, and the thoughts of God higher than our own human thoughts. So that tells me, as a wise Christian, to always rely on God rather than myself. Because if my ways and my thoughts are so far lower than God's own, well, I should humble myself to seek after God and say, God, show me your way. God, inspire your thoughts in my heart so that I can think your thoughts and walk in your ways. And we all know that the thoughts of God are written down for us. We don't need to be confused about the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are what he has spoken to us through the Holy Scriptures. He spoke them, you know, at various times through different prophets and people that he called, even under the New Testament, the apostles and the rest of them. And God has given man wisdom to put everything together into what we call the Holy Bible. So through the pages of the Bible, we can understand the thoughts of God. We can understand how God is thinking about every situation of life. And then, instead of us leaning on our own human understanding, we can get the thoughts of God into our hearts concerning those areas of need by meditating in the word of God that applies to our need. This is the way to live as Christians. When we have a need, we search the scriptures, find out what the word of God says about that particular need in our lives, and understand that that is the thought of God that is higher than our thoughts, and begin to think upon that word that applies to our need by meditating on it. Then we are thinking exactly as God is thinking about that need, and we'll be able to walk with God in the high places of victory that he has prepared for us in that situation. There is just no other way. We have to come to terms with that as Christians and understand that the only way to live successfully and victoriously is to live by the word of God. The just shall live by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God's ways are far higher than our ways. God's thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. And there's no point you and I relying on our own human thoughts or human ways, but to make choices to say, well, God, I want your ways. I want your thoughts. Guide me in the way I should go and help me. Now look at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be. So God is helping us to understand his own thoughts and his ways, that his thoughts and his ways are found in his word. And his word is so powerful that if we yield to it, it will produce the kind of result that God wants it to produce in our lives. You see, the word of God has the power of God inherent in it. If we yield to it, it will produce results that God wants for every one of us in every situation. But if we resist the word of God, there's nothing it can do. You see, we have to understand that just as Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, for instance, the sower soweth the word. But not every word that is sown produces fruit. You see, some fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on good soil. So what is the difference? The seed is the same. The difference is in the heart that receives the word. How do we receive the word of God? Do we receive it as the stony ground heart that says, well, I don't care about that. I'll just have it my way. And immediately the devil will steal that word from us and say, oh, don't bother yourself about that. Don't mind those Christians, you see. They are brainwashed people. You know, don't worry yourself, you know, by just following the Bible. You know, sort yourself out. The same way the devil spoke to Eve in the garden and said, well, don't worry about what God said, you know, as God really said, thou shalt not do this. Well, that's not the thing you should do in this matter. Even God himself knows that if you really eat from this particular fruit, you are going to become like God. You are going to be wise as God is. You won't need God to tell you what to do. You just become a God unto yourself and decide for yourself what you must do. You see, and that was how man fell in the garden. And it is the same way the devil would try to tempt every one of us to steal the word from us, as Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower. We have to be on our guard at all times, because the fact that we hear the word of God does not mean that we are going to get results that God wants us to have, unless we allow what we have heard to be the final authority in our hearts and produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. But if we resist the word, either by receiving it as stony ground heart or by the wayside, that, well, is just one of those words. I don't want that. I would do something else now. Or among thorns. Okay, we receive it, but we don't allow the word to sink deep into our hearts, so that when challenges come, when the cares of this life come, they choke the word and it produces no result in our lives. But then if we receive it with meekness and we allow the word to enter into us as the word of God indeed, and we humble ourselves to say, well, this is God speaking to me. I must listen and allow him to have his way in my life. Then that word, which already has the power of God inherent in it, will produce results, as Jesus said, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then God will be glorified in my life, and I will also enjoy the very best of God in all areas of life. Now, let's look at that again. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 again says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Please underline your Bible, that which I please. So it's not according to how we are pleased or what pleases us. It's according to what pleases God. You see, because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In most cases, our own pleasure is different from God's pleasure. Let me give you an illustration. If somebody wrongs me, my pleasure is to even the score. In other words, to show them that I'm not a fool. If you punch me on one cheek, I will punch you on two cheeks to teach you a lesson that next time, don't mess up with me. If you slap me on one side of my face, I will slap you on both sides of your face in order to show you that, well, I'm not a fool. That's how we are as men in a fallen state, because the devil corrupted Adam in the garden. And we all have that nature to just do things against God. We don't follow God's way. But Jesus tells us another way to live. He says, well, if somebody slaps you on one face, turn the other face. Of course, it's not speaking physically that we should just go about giving our faces to people to slap all over the place. After some time, we won't have any face left. But it's helping us to understand that we have to have the capacity to endure wrongs that people do against us instead of reacting in the flesh to say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you do me this, I will repay you evil for evil. No, he said repay evil with good. That's what he's teaching us. Don't react to what people do, the wrongs people do to you. Don't react in the same manner, because that's the way of the devil. That's the way of the flesh, not the way of God. If God were to react in the way we do to him, none of us will remain here on earth. Thank God, Bible says it does not deal with us according to our sins. But as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. If we were to mark our iniquities, Bible says none of us will stand. So he's teaching us his own ways that are higher than our ways. Saying, well, if somebody wrongs you, don't look for opportunity to wrong them back. Be like Jesus and love them. Even though they have wronged you, love them. When your enemy hunger, feed him. When he's thirsty, give him to drink. Because in responding with love to his own wickedness, you are heaping coals of fire upon him. So we begin to see that the ways of God are totally different from our ways. And if we really want to walk with God as Christians, we have to understand his ways and choose to walk in them, give up our own ways and say, well, I'm going to walk in the ways of God. When we choose to allow the word to have effect in us, when we receive the word with meekness of heart, God already told us in verse 11 of Isaiah 55 that the word will accomplish its own pleasure in our lives and prosper in the purpose for which it sent it into our lives. And when that happens, look at verses 12 and 13. I mean, I love these promises. I love this promise, and I'm sure every one of us love the promises that are written here when we begin to see how God can make positive changes in our lives and in our circumstances. We all want that, but there's a price to pay. You see, when it comes to getting help from God, there are conditions upon which those promises are based. If we don't fulfill those conditions, we can't get the help. The only thing that is unconditional in your life and in my life as Christians is our salvation, because we have believed on Jesus. We have received him as our personal Savior and Lord. We are going to heaven just because of that, because we received the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But after that salvation that we have received from Christ, on our life's journey, on a daily basis, we are going to need help from time to time. And those help that we receive from God, they are conditional. They are conditional. If you do this, I will do this. For instance, Bible says, if you forgive others their trespasses, then the Father also will forgive you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you ask of me, you will receive. So, you see, there are conditions. If we don't ask, what is going to happen? We won't receive. If we don't seek, we are not going to find. If we don't forgive, then God also won't forgive us. God won't say, well, just because you have believed on Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do. I will just overlook that. No, it does matter. If you want help from God, you have to obey him, even as a Christian. And then you'll be able to receive the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. Now look at verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I mean, this is lovely. All because you are walking in the ways of God. All because you are allowing God to have his pleasure in your life, then the blessings will come. You see, all through the Bible, this is what God is saying. If you obey, then the blessings will come and overtake you. But if you disobey, forget about the blessings. Even though you are going to heaven, you are going to suffer here on earth unnecessarily, lacking help. Even though God has provided it, you are the one starving yourself in the midst of God's provision. Because God has the provision, but you are not receiving it because of your disobedience. But every time we obey, then the blessings will come. the blessings will come. So look at this sweet promise. And then look at verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be for the Lord to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. In other words, there will be changes for the better in all areas of our lives when we walk in the ways of God. So we have to walk in the ways of God by choice. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we all know what is there, so we don't need to turn there. But we remember that God himself said that he knows the plans he has for us. They are plans of good, not of evil. They are to bring us to an expected end. Notice the phrase, expected end. As we said earlier, God has an expected end for every one of us. We may not know it, but God does know it, because he prepared it for us from the foundation of the world. And before we were formed in our mother's womb, God already ordained for us our destiny. And we have to understand all these things and walk with God so that we can fulfill destiny. There are many people who are in the grave today who never fulfilled their destiny while they were alive, because they did not walk with God. The truth is that none of us knows our destiny, you see. We just don't know. We don't know the fullness of the plans God has for us, because Bible says so. So there's no point any of us getting up and saying, I know everything about God's plan for my life. No, you don't. You may have a glimpse of it. You may have a little knowledge of it, but you don't have the full knowledge. Bible says so very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, quoting, you know, from the prophecy of Isaiah, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. You see, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, no heart has perceived it. God prepared it for those who love him, and those who love him are the Christians, you see. So you and I, we are people that love God, and God has already planned things for us which no one knows. There is nobody that knows. But in the next verse, Bible says God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. In other words, it is only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, or by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are going to fulfill our destiny. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to walk, we are not going to get there. And the Holy Spirit is not going to walk if we are not ready to humble ourselves to the word of God. He walks with the word. He will never operate against the word of God. If we turn our ears from hearing the word, the Holy Spirit can't help us, because he knows the Father himself has turned his ears away from hearing our prayers, just as Bible says. So we have to understand all these basic things and just surrender ourselves to God on a daily basis. Please get your pen and paper. We're going to make some statements that we can take back home and meditate in. It's always good to come to church, hear the word, and then go back like the Berean Christians and do a personal study on your own and find out for yourself whether the things the preacher said are exactly as it is in the word. And then you meditate on those scriptures more so that you can have a deeper understanding of what God wants you to understand. Now, please write this down. God's ways and man's ways are far apart, just as the heaven is far from the earth. That's what we just read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. The thoughts of God and the ways of God are not the same as ours. And in verse 9, God says, as far as the heaven is from the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. So put that scripture in front of that statement. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. And next, please write this down. God's ways are in line with his will for us. God's ways are in line with his will for us and lead us to God's expected end or destiny, if you like. The expected end there literally means destiny for our lives. So I'm going to make the statement again. God's ways are in line with his will for us and lead us to God's expected end or destiny for our lives. In front of that, please write Jeremiah 29 verse 11. See, God knows the way. He knows the plans that he has for us. He knows the expected end. He knows how to help us get there. We don't know it. No man knows it. But God does know. And if we walk with him, he will lead us there. One step at a time, day by day, he will guide us in the way that we ought to go in order to get to that expected end. Next, please make this statement. Only God can show or teach us his ways. Only God. Only God. So there is no point seeking for knowledge of the ways of God apart from God. You can't get it. You can't get it. It doesn't matter how much IQ we have. We just cannot understand God. No man in the natural, Bible says, leaning on his natural wisdom can understand the things of the Spirit of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You need to study that again when you get home. See, when it comes to God's things, God's ways, God's understanding, no natural man can understand it. We can only receive it by the Spirit, not by our intellect, no. So there's no point trying to reason out the ways of God with our natural minds. We have to humble ourselves under God and say, God, show me, teach me your ways. And the next thing God will do when we pray that prayer is to tell us to take our Bibles and begin to study it prayerfully, asking the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to behold the truth that is in the world, and then we'll begin to understand the ways of God, and then we can then make the right choices to say, well, I'm going to choose to go God's ways and not my ways. You see, if we don't search the scriptures, we'll never know the ways of God. We can't fold our hands and just expect to know the ways of God. No, you have to take up the Bible, just as God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Even though Joshua had always lived in the tabernacle before Moses died, because the Bible tells us that Joshua never departed from the tabernacle. He was living right there in the presence of God, day and night. But then after Moses died, God came to him and said, well, Joshua, rise up and lead these people into the promised land, because Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you rise up and take over and get the job done. Be strong, be courageous. But you need one thing, Joshua. God didn't say, well, Joshua, you've known my presence. You've been in the tabernacle. You've seen my cloud of glory come. You've had me speak to both yourself and Moses at the door of tabernacle. You've seen great and mighty manifestations of God. God didn't say, well, okay, you've done that, that's enough. No, he said, you must meditate in my word day and night. You have to do it diligently, day and night, because that's the only way you are going to prosper and have good success. In other words, if you don't spend time in the world, Joshua, forget about you being a man of war. Forget about you sleeping in the tabernacle, knowing the presence of God, seeing the glory of God, hearing the voice of God speak to you and Moses. Forget about all those things. You are not going to succeed because of those experiences. You're only going to succeed because of my word. Because when you meditate in my word, then you are going to understand my ways and follow my instructions and obey me. And the Holy Spirit will walk with you and bless you in all that you do. See, that's the only way. There's no other way. For us as Christians, we must not give ourselves any other option. The just shall live by faith. We must forget about any other way. No matter how right they seem to us in the world, the way people do things in the world, that's their own way. Bible says we must not be conformed to the ways of the world. We have to choose to go God's own way. We have to follow the instructions that God has given us in the word and live by them as Christians. That's the only way for us as God's children. We are the light of the world. We are not like the people of the world. They are in darkness because they don't have the light. Thank God we have the light. So don't let us leave the light aside, because the word of God is the light that we have. It's the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Don't let us put it aside and think we can walk in the light. No way. No way, no way, no way. Before long, we will not be different from unbelievers if we abandon the word of God. We will do the same thing that they do. We won't see anything wrong with what they are doing because they are in darkness and the devil deceived them thinking that they are doing the right thing. And if we take the word of God out of the picture, we will also agree with them that, well, there is really nothing wrong with what they are doing. I mean, this is modern times and, you know, we have to change with the times and just be more relevant to the present day. You see, that's the lie of the devil. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God never changes. No matter how things change in the world, God still expects us to live by his own word. That is the calling we have as Christians. Okay, so only God can show or teach us his ways. In front of that, please write the scriptures and quickly let's look at them. Isaiah 48 verse 17, Psalm chapter 32 verse 8, Psalm chapter 25 verse 4, Psalm chapter 86 verse 11, and Isaiah 42 verse 16. Quickly, let's run through those scriptures. See, it is good for us to see them ourselves and let the truth sink into our hearts, so that when we go back home and study them more, the Holy Spirit will be able to give us the depth of understanding that we need personally to live according to God's ways in our lives. First, let's look at Isaiah 48 verse 17. Let's read together. Let's go. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Hallelujah. Is that not clear? We don't need a prophet to interpret that. God says he's the one. He is the one. No other person, no man, no man can do it. It is God only. It is God only. And it says there that it teaches us to profit. You see, God wants us to make gain in our lives. That's why he has given us his ways to walk in. Because he knows that the ways of this world will not bring gain to our lives. They are the ways of death. They are the ways of destruction. Because the devil set up the system of the world to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God gave us his own ways to lead us in life and in blessings. Things that will make our lives to flourish and profit. That's why he said, my ways will bring gain to your life. But if you walk in the other way, apart from the ways of God, you are going to lose out, because the devil is a thief. You can't gain by walking in the ways of the devil or the ways of the world. The devil designed those ways to rob us. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When we walk in his ways, which he has disguised as the system of this world, we are going to lose. But when we walk in the ways of God, we are going to gain. We are going to gain. We don't need a prophet to explain that to us. It's so clear in Scripture. Let's look at Psalm 32, verse 8. So only God can teach us in the way we should go. No man can. No man. No man knows. Because the truth is that every one of us is blind to the ways of God. Unless God opens our eyes, we can't see. We just can't see. That's why we need to spend time in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see. You see? Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. Let's go together. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I love that. God says again, he is the one that will teach us in the way we should go. We can't teach ourselves and no man can teach us. Only God can. Only God can. And he's ready to guide us with his eye. In other words, to keep his eyes on us, to guide us in the way and say, well, that is the way. Don't walk that way because there's a trap. The enemy has set on that side. This is the way. Walk down in it. Go straight that way. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just keep going. Focus on the word. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Next, Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. No wonder David was a man after God's heart. God loved him because this is the heart of the man. He didn't say, well, I know the way to go. No, he always inquired of God. We see many instances of David asking God to show him what to do. Even when the enemy nations came against him, Bible says the Philistines came against David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue, shall I go after them? God said, yes, go, I'm with you. And he went and defeated the Philistines. And then the Philistines recouped and came against him the second time. Well, some of us would have acted presumptuously and said, well, it's the same Philistines, the same people. When will they learn not to come to David? Because David is always defeating them. Okay, let me rise up and go like last time. Well, he would have been defeated. Just like Samson thought, well, let me rise up like before and go after them. But when he rose up, the power was gone. They just took him and plucked out his eyes. But Bible says David inquired again of the Lord. The same Philistines. He didn't say, well, because I defeated them last time, I know what to do. No. He didn't say, I know what to do because of past experience. You don't base your decision on past experiences of your life, because every experience is a new one. The devil is very cunning. If it comes against you today and it doesn't succeed, don't think that when it comes tomorrow, it's going to come exactly the same way. He's going to try another way because he saw that the way he tried yesterday didn't work. It will come another way to see whether it can succeed. And now God told David, don't go like you went before. There's another plan now. And God gave him another battle plan. And he followed God's instruction and defeated the Philistines again. So what are we saying? You have to ask. You have to ask, because David wrote this Psalm 25. He said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. In other words, show me your way. I want to walk in your ways. Show me. Teach me so I can walk in your ways, not my own. Next, Psalm 86. It's scripture upon scripture. When you get home and you study, look in the cross references in your Bible. It will link you to many other scriptures that actually address this. So I've not been able to exhaust them. I've just brought out some to whet your appetite so that when you go back, you can get more for yourself and see how important what we are sharing here this morning is to every one of us as Christians. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Hallelujah. Again, teach me thy way. This is another psalm of David. It's asking God, teach me your way, O Lord. Then I will walk in your truth. In other words, I'm not going to walk in my own ways. I want to walk in your ways, so teach me. Because I know your ways are the ways of truth. Every other way is a lie. The ways of the world, they are all lies. Because the devil is a liar and a deceiver. It deceived the whole world, Bible says. And for somebody to deceive you, they have to get you to believe a lie. That's what deception is. They present a lie as the right thing. They give you the fake as the original. That's what deception is. They bring counterfeit to you and make you believe that that counterfeit is the real thing. So the ways of the world are ways of lies. The devil is a liar. And he's the god of this world. In other words, the system of the world. So all the people of the world, they are living in lies without them knowing. They have been deceived by the devil into believing a lie as the truth. That's why David came to God and said, you teach me, O Lord, teach me, and I will walk in your own truth. Unite my heart. Unite there means literally give me a whole heart, one heart, undivided heart. In other words, I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be one heart with God and one heart with the world. I want to seek you with all my heart. Every fiber of my being is for you. So give me one heart, O Lord, to fear your name or to reverence your name. And when we talk about fearing the name of God or reverencing the name of God, it means we just want to obey him. So this is the heart of David. And then Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. Again, please study more when you get home. Isaiah 42, let's read together, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. You see, our God is such a loving God. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon any of us. He knows we don't know the way. That's why he says we are blind. And so you and I have to come to terms with that simple truth that we are all blind unless God shows us the way we don't know. We think we know. Many times we know the way. We know what to do. We know this. We know, but we don't know. Only God knows. And so when we humble ourselves to say, God, show me the way. God, open my eyes. I'm blind. I don't really see unless you help me to see. Because we have what is called the mind-blinding spirit operating in the world. That's the devil. And he's the one that is making people not to see the light of the gospel of Christ. And don't think that the devil is only operating in the lives of unbelievers. He's operating also in the church. For many of us who don't spend time in the word of God, the devil blinds us to the truth because we are not receiving the light of God. And then we begin to rely on our own human understanding, on our own human senses, rather than relying on the wisdom of God that is written in the Holy Scriptures. So the devil is very cunning. He is very crafty. And that's why God said, well, when we are blind, he is there to be our guide. He is there to be the one leading us in ways we don't know. He will guide us in the paths that will lead us into victory even when we don't know the way. So I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And I will make darkness light before them. Praise God that he has the light for us in every situation. Finally, please write this now. Second to the last. Let's write this. Our own ways, even though they may seem right to us, ultimately lead us to the wrong destiny. our own ways. That's our own human ways, when we rely on our own human understanding and thoughts. Our own ways, even though they may seem right to us, ultimately lead us to the wrong destiny. In front of that, please write Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, and let's quickly turn there. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. Let's go together. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, this is why we cannot rely on our own human understanding, because it will look right to us. It will seem that this is the right thing. But then, Bible says, the hand of what looks right to us is not the way it should be. It's not good. It's the way that leads to death. Because the devil disguises it. You see, it's like hunters who set traps for animals. They disguise the trap so much, they even cover it with leaves just to make it look like the whole environment is the same. Dry leaves will cover the trap, so the unsuspecting animal is walking about because everything looks the same. And before he knows, he has put his foot in the trap and has been caught. Or sometimes they would have dug a hole and then cover it with leaves. And the animal going, just puts his foot there and sinks in the hole. You see? So what is God saying to us? We must not rely on our own human understanding, because the ways that seem right to us may not lead us to where God wants us to go. They may lead us into a different destiny, and their ways of death. Now, how then do we ensure that we walk in the ways of God, which are higher than our ways? How do we ensure that we are seeking after those ways in our daily Christian lives and walk? Number one, we have to seek God's higher ways in His Word, just as we've been saying all along. The first place to seek to know the ways of God is to go into the Bible, search the Scriptures, and find out what the Word of God says about your need. Because the Word of God is the expression of the will of God and the ways of God for our lives as Christians. So we have to look in the Bible in order to understand the higher ways of God. In front of that, Psalm 119 verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 104. Psalm 119 verse 105. Psalm 17 and verse 4. Quickly, let's look at them. Hallelujah. Thank God for His goodness. Such a good God. He wants us to profit in all areas of life. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hallelujah. Not according to the opinion of the world. Not according to what others say. No, it's according to the word of God. The only way we can make our way to be clean and to be in line with the way of God is only through the word of God. No human intellect here now. No philosophy. Nothing like that. Only the word of God. And verse 104, the same Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It is through the word of God that we receive the understanding that God wants us to have, so that we can walk in His own ways and turn away from every false way. The false ways are the ways the devil has set up to lure us away from God's own ways. We must not fall into his traps. And then verse 105, the very next verse says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. In other words, it is the word of God that shows me how to walk, where to walk, where to put my foot. Because if you don't have light, you don't know how to walk. You are going to bump into things and injure yourself. You are going to just be walking around in circles because you don't have light to show you a clear path to go. Thank God the word of God gives us clarity of direction. And then Psalm 17 verse 4, I love this. Oh, if we will all choose to walk in the word of God, we won't be talking about the devil and what he's doing. Remember, the word of God is the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery dart of the wicked. And the word of God is the sword of the spirit that cuts sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God will take care of the devil or the destroyer in all areas of our lives if we choose to live by the word. Now, Psalm 17 verse 4, let's go. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hallelujah. Who is the destroyer? That's the devil. So how do I keep myself from the path of the destroyer or the devil? It is by the word of God. The word that God has spoken. That is what I listen to. That is what I choose to apply to my life personally to keep me from the paths of the destroyer. So I will walk in the paths of God that leads to blessings. I will not be able to walk in the paths of the enemy that leads to destruction. Thank God we all have choices to make. And we can always make the right choices by following the word of God. Finally, the second thing we need to do in order to ensure that we are personally walking in the higher ways of God is to pray. We must pray. We must learn to pray. Just as we read earlier, David always coming to God and praying, asking God to show him the way. We must not take things for granted or take things, you know, superficially. We search the scriptures to find out what the word of God says, and then we go into prayer, especially when we pray in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. He has the understanding, he has the wisdom, he has the knowledge, he has the guidance for us, he has the help for us in every situation. So we have to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to get involved. We cannot do anything successfully without the Holy Spirit helping us. Even Jesus, when he came to this earth, could not succeed apart from the Holy Spirit. That was why right from the beginning of his ministry, he went into the synagogue, he asked for the book of prophet Isaiah, he opened to where God already prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to do all the things, let's put it that way, that he has sent me to do. So Jesus is even telling us that he couldn't do anything here on earth as he came in the human nature. He couldn't succeed apart from the Holy Spirit helping him. Now, if the head of the church says to us that he needed the Holy Spirit to succeed, and Bible tells us, you know, even after his death, you know, by the help of the same Holy Spirit moving Paul to write, he said, our God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You see, Jesus was able to do all the miracles, all the works he did. Everything that we read about Jesus doing while he was on earth, he was able to do those things, as Bible says, only by the help of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't have done anything. Jesus could not have opened any blind eyes without the Holy Spirit anointing. He could not have raised any dead person without the Holy Spirit anointing. Now, if the head of the church needed the Holy Spirit, how much more we, the body? So we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to spend time in prayer. So in front of that, please write these two scriptures as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's stand there. We need the Holy Spirit, so we must pray. We need the Word. We must spend time in it, studying it, meditating in it. When we spend time in the Word and we spend time in prayer, and we have that teachable spirit to say, Lord, teach me, God will teach us and guide us in the way we should go, because He knows how to help us in order to walk upon our high places in all aspects of life until He comes. Thank God we are citizens of heaven. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We are of God. Little children, Bible says, and we have overcome the world. Because greater is He who is in us. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, see? Greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Let us read together. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, albeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. Notice the word mysteries there. So that man speaking in an unknown tongue. Notice the word unknown. The tongue that is not known. This is not, you know, me standing here now and then the Holy Spirit moving me to speak in other tongue. Other tongue may be known by man. I may not know it, but somebody else knows it. For instance, the Holy Spirit may move me to speak in Japanese while I'm standing here, whereas I never learned anything about Japanese in my life. And then there may be a Japanese person in the congregation that the Holy Spirit is using me to talk to. So I'm speaking in other tongue. It's another tongue to me, but it's not another tongue to somebody else. So that person hears what I'm saying and understands it. But now he's talking about unknown tongue, which no man knows. And speaking in the language of the Spirit that nobody knows. So it's not about speaking another language known to man now. This is speaking a language that no man knows. So we must not confuse the two together. On the day of Pentecost, what happened was that they spoke in other tongues, not unknown tongues, because the people that had them understood what they were saying and they were wondering, but these are Galileans, how come they are speaking our language? We hear them speaking in Medes, in all the various languages represented here in Jerusalem. And they said they must be drunk because they heard them prophesying. They understood what they were saying. How can they be saying, speaking our language when they don't know it? So they must be drunk with wine. You see, that's speaking in other tongues. Not unknown tongue, but other tongues. It's unknown to the person speaking it, but known to somebody hearing it. But here, the Bible is talking about unknown tongue to any man. No man knows it. No man knows it. So no man can understand what I'm saying because no man knows it. So this is talking about my own personal communion with God. It's not talking about me speaking to any man now. No, it's me and God alone talking secrets by the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows the plans of God for my life, which no man knows. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which we are going to look at again before we close. And then the Holy Spirit in me, who knows? It's helping me because I'm praying. I want to know. And I'm going in other tongues. I mean, in unknown tongue. And then the Holy Spirit helps me to present that prayer before God and to receive the answer, the wisdom from God. And He imparts it back to me. And suddenly, I receive the revelation of what I need to do in the situation. Because no man knows. No man knows. But thank God the Holy Spirit knows. That's why we have to pray in other tongues. And use that privilege that we have to speak to our Father directly, one-on-one with our Father. Nobody else gets involved. It's me and God alone, my Father and me alone, talking the secret that God has for my life, which nobody knows. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is why the Bible says no man knows. So, you know, many of us, instead of spending time praying in our heavenly language, the unknown tongue, we just run up and down and try to look for a prophet to tell us what to do. I mean, why those prophets have just finished eating good meal? They are not even hearing anything from God. And they just speak some rubbish and we say, yes, that's the word of God. And then many people have listened to the word of so-called prophets and they've made a shipwreck of their faith. Because you see, that man was just speaking according to human spirit, human understanding, not the spirit of God. You have to learn to talk to God yourself. You have to learn to talk secrets with your Father, which no man knows. You don't need any man now. You just go to your Father and begin to talk to him in the unknown tongue. And allow the Holy Spirit to help you communicate with the Father. You yourself don't know, because the Bible says no man knows, but the Holy Spirit in you knows. So when he has helped you to make connection with heaven, he receives from heaven and puts it in your human spirit, and suddenly you know what to do.